Good morning. Today is Friday, July the 3rd. Have you bought your fireworks yet? Okay, well, if not, well, wait, this is almost like cross purposes. If I talk about Fortuna on a day when Eureka's here.
That's right.
Okay. So, me mentioning that there's the fireworks celebration in Fortuna tonight would really kind of be verboten, huh?
Well, not at all, as long as people are aware that the fireworks are happening in Eureka tomorrow.
You're right. And Arcata and Port Orford and. Well, Brian Gerving from the City of Eureka is with us, kind of pitch hitting for the city manager who's left Dodge.
That's right.
Huh.
Only temporarily, though.
Yeah, okay. This morning we're going to talk about a couple of different things. We got the water settling, sort of, kind of, maybe, at least for this temporary season, we'll be there with that. We'll talk a little bit about, obviously, the 4th of July and some of the challenges that are going on in that arena, also with some of the booths. You know, some people may not understand what it takes to be a street vendor. We'll talk a little bit about some of those types of things, probably working in those portable taco trucks and some of those kinds of things, too, because those are kind of at least trendy in the food network.
They certainly are.
Yeah. So we got a couple of those around here also. And then a weird different idea that only comes from the mind of a Brian. We'll talk about that also. See, we're almost kindred spirits in that regard. Unique, weird, mutant, all that stuff.
That's right.
I think so. All right. So it's the Brian Show. But before we get into that, our quote this morning comes from Jack Helbert, an English actor sometime between 1892 and 1978. Quote, "Many managers believe they're communicating with their employees when in reality they're only talking excessively and listening for their own words to be reflected in their employees' statements." Thought I just kind of... I could have said duck for fireworks, but that one kind of seemed to be a little bit more pertinent. So how you been?
Wonderful. How about you?
Oh, day by day. New year, new extension on life for you, huh?
That's right.
That's kind of cool stuff. What was really exciting for you, Brian, about last year? Was there any one thing that you kind of went, yeah, and that was the item that you're going to remember last fiscal year for?
Well, you know, this year has been a big year of change for the city as a whole, and for me in particular, not just with all of the budgetary constraints that we've been working with, but a big change with the Public Works Department. Going into the second half of this fiscal year, we knew that the Public Works Director, Bruce Young, would be retiring. And with that, some planning happened, and there was a decision by the City Council and the City Manager to combine the Building Department, which I was previously the head of, into the Public Works Department. And I've since assumed that Director of Public Works position in addition to the position of Chief Building Official.
Big deal internally?
It's been big from an organizational standpoint in terms of the restructuring, but I think the goal is to keep things as smooth as possible in the field and at the level where the work is getting done, while reducing costs where we can at the management level and making things more efficient from a financial standpoint.
And based on your suntan left arm, it looks like you've been out driving around a little bit, checking up on things.
That's actually from a recent road trip.
Oh, they do get vacations sometimes. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Gerving, who self-confessed Director of Public Works and the chief building official for the city of Eureka. What are some of the challenges that are out there, Brian? I would tend to think that with the number of historical buildings we have that are commercial, that you kind of have your hands full a little bit in trying to make sure that the ADA stuff is done. If it's a historical building, it stays within that. Colors, signs, you know, there's actually a couple projects in the commercial areas of, in town that are going on. Does that make life exciting for you?
It can. You know, colors and signs, things like that that are more design related are really taken care of by the Development Services Department and entities like the Design Review Committee, the Historical Preservation Commission, all of that. But definitely, we've got an aging stock of buildings that from a maintenance standpoint can be difficult, and a lot of accessibility problems, as you mentioned, in those commercial areas. But the residential stock has definitely deteriorated over time. There are a lot of people who maintain their properties very well and some that don't. And so we address those as we can and try and figure out creative ways of helping people to a solution.
I see. And then if that doesn't work, the 4x6 across the forehead?
Yeah, we haven't gone that route yet.
How challenging is it for some of the absentee folks or those that are comfortable with their multifamily buildings being in a state of repair that most of us wouldn't feel comfortable with? Is it a matter of, hey, and you bring them up to speed and they go, oh, gee, I didn't realize? Or is this more of kind of like a business model that they employ?
Both situations are out there. And, you know, for the most part, when we point problems out to people, they are very responsive and they want to do right by both the community and their tenants. And they're ordinarily, like I said, really responsive to the concerns we bring up, and they address them in pretty short order. That's not always the case.
If not, let's say it's the guy or gal who doesn't hire a maintenance for a residential and the tenants don't have a lawnmower. So it's not that they would, and they don't have a sheep either. They would like to, they're not going to buy a lawnmower. The landlord's kind of and you consistently have a foot or larger growth in the front yard. How does that one play out?
It can be any number of ways. You know, really, it's when something becomes so overgrown that it's a fire hazard, can be a concern about, you know, an errant ember causing some problem that can get into larger vegetation, that kind of thing. And we have a weed abatement program in the city where people are notified of what the violation might be. And then ultimately, if they elect not to take care of the problem, then city forces or our contractors can do that. But like I said, that's really the exception rather than the rule.
What about with the gutters?
Gutters, you know, that's something that
not roof gutter, street gutter.
Right, exactly. I knew what you were talking about. I think people don't realize a couple things. First, exactly how much of a visual impact weeds in the gutters has on the overall look of the city. I think you kind of become blind to it after a period of time and don't really recognize just how bad it looks. The second thing that people don't realize is that out to the center line of the street, that's the property owner's responsibility. So
potholes?
Potholes, no. But weeds, vegetation, things like that. And
so if I've got a weed growing in the middle of Booner, if it's on my side, I have to go out there?
Just be careful. but seriously,
I can turn it into a speed trap somehow or a speed bump, slow down some traffic. Gee, I don't know where that cement came from. I just, you know, it wasn't there this morning.
But the weeds in the gutters, you know, we really encourage people to take care of that on their own. It's a difficult thing to get after as a city because we've got 120 miles of streets and just don't have the personnel to maintain those weeds on our own. And also don't have the personnel to proactively address that from a code enforcement standpoint. So we really are trying to improve our public education about that and get people to take the responsibility.
Perhaps eradicate instead of maintain those weeds?
That would be better.
Yeah, I don't want to fertilize them. I'm sorry. So what about sidewalks? Because I know from, last 7 or 8 city managers, even if Eureka is used, trip and falls are a big issue. Wrong trees are planted. Sidewalks kind of decay after a period of time or break up or whatever. And trip and falls are a significant issue. Okay. If I'm supposed to be maintaining the sidewalk, do I have any culpability as a resident or a homeowner if the sidewalk starts looking and falling apart or looking ratty, is that me?
It is in most cases. There are exceptions to that. Certain areas of the town where the city's installed exposed aggregate sidewalk in Old Town, for instance, or if it's a city-maintained street tree that might be causing a defect, that responsibility then falls to the city or within the Caltrans right-of-way, things are different.
Those are the ones inside the sidewalk, the squares that are cut out when a tree gets dropped in?
Some of them are city-maintained. Some of them are ones that were installed by the private property owner through Keep Eureka Beautiful, for instance, has a program, really great program, where they've installed hundreds and hundreds of trees throughout the city.
Yeah, I think those are the ones Rob and Sherry are supporting?
They put them
in the wider sidewalks?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, we need to still make sure that there's clearance there. But in most cases, sidewalk defects, whether it's from a tree or any other condition, are the responsibility of the private property owner. And a lot of people are surprised when they learn that, but it's state law, the 1911 Sidewalk Act. And
jeez. And it rolls right off his lips. Kind of used to that one, huh?
That one comes up frequently.
Okay. So if I'm going to put aside, if I have to replace the sidewalk, okay, do I have the ability to, let's say I want a green sidewalk or an orange sidewalk or the exposed aggregate or a pattern instead of the ones that are smooth and kind of slippery during the winter? Do I have those options?
Well, we try to make sure they're not slippery, and we have ways of addressing that. But no, there's a city standard for the sidewalk, and gray is the typical color. There are those areas of town where exposed aggregate is what we go with.
But some of the colored cement is frowned upon?
That's right.
Unless it's the whole sidewalk in front of your place?
No, even then, the city standard is just gray concrete. And those areas of town where we have decorative sidewalk is the only area where it's different.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:30. We'll be back with more from Brian Gerving.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Brian Gerving, the Director of Public Works, etc., for the City of Eureka. It's interesting. I want to keep talking about the stupid sidewalks. It's intriguing for me because there are some lots, and I think most people perceive that this city has a certain standard. Okay, and even if there's a field that you used to ride bikes on when you were growing up, if there's no sidewalk there, you kind of look and go, really? Eh. Is there a requirement to have a sidewalk in the city of Eureka?
In general, it's the city's goal to continue expanding the sidewalks that we've got. And the goal is to ultimately have them throughout the city. There are some more rural areas where it wouldn't ever be applicable, but there's language in the municipal code that when development happens at a parcel, for instance, or when repairs or alterations are done to a certain extent, then sidewalk needs to be installed. And so the goal is to provide that connectivity so that pedestrians can make their way around the city safely and comfortably.
Does the same standard hold true for the streets in front of the sidewalks?
In certain situations, yes. If there's new construction and it's anything other than a single-family residence, so you got a commercial building
or an apartment complex,
duplexes, I think, fall into the same category as single-family residences. But if you got a multifamily building or a commercial building that goes in and either the street isn't improved or it's not improved adequately, then there's half-width street paving that comes into play going out to that center line. And same with alley improvements. That's full-width alley improvements, which is just gravel and grading. and then the sidewalk if there's none currently present.
There's a couple of places, I know you probably always get the exception thrown at you, over by the zoo. Old line, established neighborhood between Harris and Hodson.
All the way down to Glatt.
Yeah, that are really rough. I mean, you, if the old Harrison Avenue, you needed a half track to drive. We got another use for that half track through that neighborhood. What's the city's responsibility? Because if a sidewalk, for those who are unfamiliar, if the sidewalk was in that condition, you'd be busting their chops to get it taken care of. It's alligatored, it's falling apart, it's throwing rock, everything else inside the city. So is the standard the same for the city as it is street, as it is for the private sidewalk?
Well, the difference between the two is that the sidewalk is intended to have that pedestrian traffic, so a trip and fall is much more likely if someone's walking on the sidewalk and it's you know, somehow uneven. But obviously the condition of our streets is in a lot of cases not what we want it to be, and it's the funding and the staffing that's the issue in terms of getting it dealt with. Now, that particular area that you're talking about, we do have we have an annual street improvement project. And this year, Everding Street in that area about which you were speaking is on the list. And it's one of the more extensive projects. We try to address things before they get to that state of failure, because the longer you wait, the more expensive it is. And street funding is something that from the state level, the funding has decreased, both because the gas tax rate, there's a portion of the gas tax that's variable, and it was reduced this year. And in addition, cars, as they become more efficient, mean that people are paying less gas tax. So there are some measures at the state level to increase that funding through different methods, increases to the vehicle license fee, and there's going to be a pilot program for a road usage charge, which will charge people for the miles they drive regardless of what the fuel economy is. So as those things come through, hopefully we'll see more funding at the local level for street improvements, because the city's general fund, as you're well aware, doesn't have the capacity to fund those types of activities to the extent that it did in the past.
You mean the state isn't going to take it and siphon it off to Caltrans?
Well, we would sure hope not.
Ah, he doesn't want to play ball this morning. Okay, fine. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Brian Gerving.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:44. We're back to Talk Shop with Brian Gerving from the City of Eureka. Happy 4th of July, everybody, by the way. Just may as well throw that in. Or happy 3rd, depending on where you are. Okay, fine. Give me that look. Water and conservation. Bit of a challenge, I would think, in communities where there's a higher percentage of renters than there are owner-occupied, and that's certainly something that the City of Eureka has dealt with, that evolution over the last little bit. Were the citizens of Eureka as responsive to the water conservation as what you were hoping for back before the state restruck everything and made it so that we're already there?
I think for the most part, they've done a really good job. You know, as you mentioned, there have been some changes at the state level this year to the water restrictions. And as part of that, we're analyzing how our numbers look this year compared to 2013. And month to month, it varies anywhere from 5 to 20%. But on average, the first 5 months of this year compared to the first 5 months of 2013, our overall water production, which correlates with our residents and occupants' consumption, is down by 11%. So I think everybody's doing a good job being cognizant of the water situation that the state is facing, even though in this area, we're not facing the same sort of considerations.
Yeah, it's tough when they really don't got to have to is staring you in the face, and it's the guys in Beverly Hills that are having problems getting their water. Yeah, Crimea tier.
That's exactly it. And, you know, when the state drafted these regulations, we were very thankful that in the end, the five jurisdictions, the five urban water suppliers served by Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District were granted a reprieve of sorts with this exception that was written into the regulations, meaning that we only have to reduce our overall water production by 4%. But the tiered rate structure, the tiered conservation structure that the state came up with in their regulations really doesn't make a lot of sense, because if you are using hundreds of gallons per capita per day in Beverly Hills, in Bakersfield, and you have to reduce that by 36%, which is the highest tier, you're still using a heck of a lot of water. And those that are using a really responsible amount of water still having to reduce, it's really problematic. But like I said, the 4% is achievable.
If these guys do it with the Coastal Commission, why can't they do it with the Water Commission, right?
That's exactly it.
Notice I use the analogy you were going with. Okay, fine. The concept of a pocket park, I know, goes back into the 70s when Alice Sherwood passed. 5th and F, there was a little kick out there. It was kind of like a memorial little park for Alice, and Randy, your husband, took care of it. It kind of seemed like it was a cool idea. Was it 5th and F or was it 6th and F? Not sure what you would probably know in the records. But it was also became a maintenance issue, and then the city pulled it out. And you go, okay. So you have this tension between city beautification and maintenance of city beautification. You know, we see it with the trees. You know, some of the trees are groomed, but some of them, when they were trendy, like the flowering cherries, you know, they're not really designed for sidewalk trees. How do you work that together so that the city isn't all cement all the time, but on the other hand, you don't have to have the ag crew of 50 guys going out there and having to trim up all these trees and making sure that it's the right trees and for the right application and blah, blah, blah.
Well, you know, in the case of trees in particular, there have been, as I mentioned earlier, with the program through Keep Eureka Beautiful, an awful lot of street trees being installed. And those that are installed by private property owners through that program or on their own, they're responsible for that upkeep, and we want to make sure that they take care of it. They want their places to look good. That's why the trees went in the first place. But a lot of it does go back to the selection of the tree, and that's been kind of straightened out over time. In the past, some of the selections weren't exactly appropriate, and they caused problems either with stuff dropping on the ground or with damage to the sidewalk, that kind of thing. But we really try to make sure that now we're selecting them better, and they won't require that same level of maintenance going forward.
What about redwood trees? They kind of seem like they grow pretty well around here. Would that make sense to have redwood trees in sidewalks?
No. How's that for an answer?
Clear.
Very clear. Those are problematic for the trip and falls like you talked about.
Okay. So is there a list somewhere where you can find small little weenie trees that you can put in sidewalks that don't cause any problems, but are still wildly attractive?
There is a list, and some of them aren't that small. But if they're installed properly and they've got the right root structure, that's one of the reasons they're on the list, they can grow to a pretty good size without causing that kind of damage.
But don't they have to be small to stay underneath the electrical lines so the PG&E and their headhunters don't come through and lop them off?
That's true, and in some areas that's consideration.
Depending on the side of the street that you're on, yeah, okay, fine.
Exactly.
So yet again, I'm on the wrong side of the street. If folks are looking for the list, is that something that they can swing by your shop and get? Is it on the website?
Either one. If they go on the city's website and just search for street tree, they will find a list. They can also come into our office, the Public Works Department, on the third floor of City Hall, and we have that approved street tree list.
Good, so you get an aerobic workout as well.
That's right.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
We've been Talking Shop with Brian Gerving. Join us Monday for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hope somebody else see you then.